Blog Talk Radio.
The information discussed on this show is not a substitute for medical advice, medical diagnosis, or medical treatment. Always consult your physician before taking on a new diet, fitness program, or any dietary supplement.
Welcome to It's Not the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Denise. Thank you for listening in tonight. It's Not the Soup, where my mission is to educate you, motivate you, and elevate you to reach your highest health potential. There may be many things preventing you from doing that, but it's not the soup. So let's talk about what it could be. Tonight, we're going to round out the month of stress awareness and talk about an issue that is that plagues a lot of people. So a lot of times when you're under stress, you find that you're making poor choices related to your health. Tonight, we're going to have a guest, and you're going to be in store for an exciting look into something that plagues us called emotional eating. So today you're going to walk away from this experience with insight into why you overeat and how you can be empowered to make healthier choices, in addition to powerful tools to shut off your inner critic so you can stop sabotaging lasting weight loss. So I'm going to give you the contact information. I'd love for you to call in with questions at 929-477-2891. You can follow our podcast at blogtalkradio.com/ It's Not the Soup. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Not the Soup. And you can email me at itsnotthesoup@gmail.com. All right, so we're going to welcome our caller. Welcome our special guest tonight. Hi, Heather. How are you today?
Hello, Dr. Denise. How are you?
I'm doing well. One of my favorite sister Pisces. I'm so excited you're here with us tonight.
I know. This is so fun.
Well, it's that time of year when we start thinking about vacation time. Where do you and your family like to go and relax and have fun?
We live in Phoenix, so San Diego is our favorite and most easy destination. It's really funny. I've taken the kids, my boys are 13 and 15, to Costa Rica, and they're always like, can you guys go back to San Diego? And I'm like, yes, I'll go to Costa Rica. We'll go to San Diego together, and I'll save the tropics for myself, because they just like, you know, skateboarding and biking over there. So we do, I do 2 weeks over there in the summer, 1 week without them and 1 week with them. So I found that that's pretty nice as well.
All right. And again, to our audience, you guys are listening to Heather Lehman. She is an emotional eating expert. And she's going to be sharing some information with us today. So I'm going to circle back and just, you know, touch on it's, you know, it's really great that family has a way of shaping who we are and how we serve the world. So what would you say, how would you say your family sort of influenced your understanding of food and weight and emotional eating?
Yeah, it's very interesting because I grew up with a mom that had, like, the opposite body image. So I grew up in a house where mom was like, oh, it's on. Oh, I look good in this. Like, no matter, like, what tube top and short shorts she was wearing, she always thought she looked good.
Okay.
And then, you know, I didn't really get that. I was really very thin until kind of middle of high school and started, you know, gaining weight naturally. And I found that I tried to use food to control, really, I mean, honestly, like my relationships. because I tried to be the really cute, attractive girlfriend. I better watch my weight. I better be thin. And that's how I was loved. So I had, you know, very complicated relationship with food. My mother was an addict and an alcoholic, so I grew up watching her cope by using that stuff. And food is just no different. It's just no different at all.
Okay. So you're saying, I hear you saying you have a lot of experience with this type of behavior, using food in an emotional way.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it just differed, you know, over the years as you go through different life phases and after college and marriage and divorce and, you know, find yourself, you know, I found myself using food in really unhealthy ways over the years. And it took me a while to kind of really figure out how to handle it.
Okay. So what exactly inspired you to write the book?
Well, as you know, we were working together, being health coaches, and I'm going to try it without my headphones, and maybe it won't echo because I can hear myself. Does that sound any better to you?
Okay, it does, but I'm not hearing you echo at all, but it sounds
okay. Good. So, you know, in my health coaching, you know, you're given this whole toolkit and here's your nutrition stuff and here's your physical activity stuff and here's your disease management stuff. And I had so many people coming to me that had all of these different issues that had nothing to do with knowledge. Did they know that they needed to eat more salads? Yes. Did they know that they needed to work out? Yes. But for me, there was always a story behind it, and the most marked story that I had was a woman who came to me, and she was just said her sugar was out of control. She was just eating a ton of sugar at work and didn't know what her problem was, and I asked her how long it had been going on. She said about 3 months, and I said, well, what happened 3 months ago? And she said, well, my mom died. And I was like, oh, my goodness. She's like, no. She's been sick for a while. We knew it was coming. And I was like, that's awful. That's tragic. And she was like, well, you know, but, you know, as life happens and these awful things happen, you know, you've got 5 days off of work when your parent dies, and then off you go. You got to go back to work, and, you know, life goes on. But we don't really have the tools to deal with those losses and tragedies and surprises and shocks. So then we turn to food because, you know, you can't sit at work and smoke cigarettes and drink Jack Daniels usually. So food is very easy to go to for comfort. And I didn't have any tools in the toolkit of how to help people with that. So I wanted to create a toolkit to deal with all of the reasons that we turn to food for comfort.
Okay, so the title of the book is Don't Eat It, Deal With It, and you know, I feel like that's a really powerful title, and even, you know, it sort of coincides with some information that I'd found earlier from, you know, the Mayo Clinic, where they talked about, you know, the key to weight loss is getting control of emotional eating, because as you stated before, most people know the basic facts. They know they should exercise. They know they should, you know, make better choices. But typically it's deeper than that. You know, it's as I always say, it's not the soup. It's something else. It's something else that needs to be addressed. So yeah, I love that you've done that, and you have something to offer us to, you know, to help us with emotional eating. So tell me a little more about what exactly you do to help people with emotional eating.
Well, the biggest thing I do right now, I have a 6-week program, and I run that in the corporate wellness setting, and I run it in a private setting. And I really take people kind of on a journey and get them to leave this whole diet fantasy land, you know, oh, maybe if I just do this, or I'm going to start again on Monday, whatever those paradigms are about what weight loss is, and really get them to understand that it is emotion, and then we spend time, I guess, then try to help them figure out what emotions. So once we figure out, like, oh, you know, personally, I'm a very anxious person. I'm more of a fear-based person. I grew up in chaos, and so that's very normal, natural for me. So then once I figure that out, then I can go to the toolkit, and I have distinct activities you can do, and then different mind games that you can play. So then for fear, like, okay, well, I need to develop A, B, and C to deal with my fear. And another one might be anger. Oh, okay, well, I'm very angry, so what if I do D, E, and F? Or I struggle with shame. Well, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. So I take people through the process of building that toolkit. But first, they have to realize and figure out, like, okay, what is it? What's my big driver? And then have some tools to deal with that. And then I also do some other things to help people round out their lives. I find people are big boredom eaters. So then I help people find solutions, you know, to boredom so that then they actually don't turn to food also.
Okay. Share with us what some of the signs are for emotional eating. For example, in other words, how would I know if I was an emotional eater?
Well, I would just say you probably are. No, I'm just kidding. I think almost everybody is, because everybody grows up, generally food is celebration. You know, I'm from the Midwest, so if somebody dies, you bring food. If somebody, you know, has a baby, you bring food. And, you know, it's just a gathering point. But, I mean, basically, if you're not eating out of hunger, then you're probably eating out of emotion. So if my stomach is rumbling, you know, I can feel hungry, and that's time to eat. But if I'm, you know, notice that, you know, when I'm sad, or I'm bored, or I'm lonely, or I'm very resentful and angry. So it's really, you know, if you're not eating because you are distinctly hungry, and then it's, you know, because people kind of think, oh, no, I just like food, and they say things like that. But I always think that if you really looked deeper at what's going on in all parts of your life, that you would find that there's, you know, something that maybe you're not dealing with. And maybe that can be relationship stuff at home. Maybe that can be family stuff, or you've got financial stress, or you're worried about your kid, you know, things like that. Those are the more insidious things that drive people to eat. But, you know, if you're eating at night, highly likely you already had dinner and you're not hungry. So then that's emotional eating.
Okay. Okay. So this is really important. We need to know when we're feeding our bodies and when we're eating to silence an emotion that can't be resolved with food. So one of the other things you talk about in the book, and I love this concept of the inner critic. So how would you say the inner critic, talk to me a little just about the inner critic and how that comes into play.
Well, I think pretty much everybody that I've ever encountered in coaching has an inner critic, and that person or that voice, you know, that voice when you're trying to do something big or brave, and that voice is like, are you kidding me? Like, so probably when you started your podcast, the your jerk was like, really, Dr. Denise, we're going to have a pod? Okay, yeah, tons of people listen, probably. You know, but we have this very negative voice. You know, that's generally trying to save us from harm or humiliation, but wants us to stay small, and is usually replicating a voice of somebody that you grew up with. So, you know, repeating things about maybe we're not good enough, and we're not worthy, or we're not smart enough, or we're not pretty enough, we're not skinny enough, we're not rich enough. But it, you know, usually gravitates towards a couple of things, but then just repeat, repeat, repeat. And we believe that's us and ourselves. But like I said, usually it's a voice that we've adopted from other people, or we've inferred. So, if, you know, if you've grown up abandoned, somebody left you, then as a child, you know, your mind only works in a childlike way to infer that, oh, well, that's because I'm not worth it. That's because I'm not good enough. That's why they left. So then that inner jerk voice perpetuates and keeps on with those same themes, like, until we start to become conscious and aware that, like, oh, that's that's actually not my voice. That's, you know, that is just, you know, me living out this old, old pattern that I don't need to do anymore.
Okay, so when you find that people are caught, you know, caught up in emotional eating, what would you, just one thing, just give us one little tidbit about how you teach them to silence that voice or that inner critic?
One of the first steps that I have in the program, Emotional Eating Freedom Formula, is saying grace. Because I want people to pause. Because if we're going to create a mindful practice around food, you need to have a pause to say, okay, what am I doing? Because you need to assess, am I hungry? Oh, if I'm not hungry, what am I? Am I bored? Am I lonely? Am I sad? Am I angry? Am I feeling guilty? Like, what it is. So I have people, and I give different versions. Some people are religious, and they, you know, use a more classic religious version of grace. If not, all the way down the scale to just being goofy, you know, and being giving gratitude to have the money to buy, you know, and even if you're going to this Dorito or, you know, this salad, but, you know, I'm grateful for this and let it nourish my body and give me strength. So I give different versions, but I have people try to do that, you know, not for every bite, but for every thing you're getting ready to put into your mouth. So, you know, if you're walking by, you know, and your kid didn't finish the crust on his Pop-Tart, you're going to eat that, that's fine. But in chair, sit down, say grace over it before you eat it. And I find that that practice helps people wake up and say, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Why am I eating a crust of a Pop-Tart? And you may go ahead and continue and enjoy your crust of the Pop-Tart, but just starting to become aware of what's going on, because then that helps you to start digging deeper. But then also a lot of times within this pause, when you wake up and you say, like, I don't need more Doritos, and then maybe you will not go ahead and eat the things, especially if you're not hungry.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. I love that. So saying grace to raise your awareness of the behavior and giving yourself a minute to sort of assess whether or not you would, that's a good option to make. And just as you were saying that, I was thinking of how easy it would be to sort of say, you know, if you're going to say grace for the crust of the Pop-Tart, you know, I would probably rethink yeah. eating it myself. Because it seems like, and not silly, but it seems in a way like, wow, like, okay, really, Denise, you're going to eat this crust. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. And every parent has certainly eaten some sort of peanut butter and jelly crust or goldfish that I found in the car seat. You know, you've eaten those things and been like, oh, I don't know. But just, you know, out of habit or anxiety or, you know, just that complete lack of consciousness. So, you know, grace really helps you just to get conscious. But I'm a huge believer in gratitude and giving thanks also, whether it's, you know, just to myself for being able to provide this for myself, you know, or if it's to a higher power, I think it's a very important practice.
Okay. Okay, very good. I'm going to interrupt here just to let the callers know again that the number to call in is 929-477-2891. If you guys have any questions or concerns and things you want to maybe bring to our guest today about emotional eating, about your experience with emotional eating, how we can maybe impart to you a few tips to overcome that. Because we, you know, Heather and I have been coaching together for a long time, and honestly, the increase in weight and problems of negative health outcomes, the diabetes, the cholesterol, the joint replacements, a lot of those things that are the results of not managing those emotions and sort of using food to pacify whatever is going on. you know, and really not being able to put a finger on and give people information about how they can be successful at losing weight and maintaining weight, and more importantly, just giving yourself self-care and helping yourself manage your emotions. So I think this is fantastic. I think, you know, having you here and sharing with the listeners is just another tool for your toolbox, as I would say. So let me ask you, would you be willing to share one or two secrets from your book? If you only want to do one is fine, but, you know, one or two secrets that, in addition to what you've given us already, that you think would be, you know, good nuggets for people to take away.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think obviously, you know, grace is a real cornerstone. And I mentioned journaling. I think it's really important that you know what's going on inside, because I think a lot of times we can be pretty full of BS when it comes to ourselves. It's like, no, I'm not mad. Just like that woman when her mom died. Oh, no, we knew it was going to happen. But that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to lose your mother. So to pretend otherwise, just because, you know, you're trying to figure out how to get through the day, those emotions still exist. So as we practice journaling, and when I teach, you know, I have a distinct way that I have people journal, but finding out, you know, what is going on and what am I ignoring and what am I trying to act like doesn't matter and what's really hurting my feelings and, you know, where do I really feel alone in my life? You know, getting to those things is so important, and having, you know, just yourself as a witness is so important, because a lot of times we talk to friends, but that friend is going to put their spin on everything. And even if they are, you know, a darling longtime friend, you're still going to hear all of their perceptions and beliefs about what you're talking about. But if you are journaling, you know, you're really just actually witnessing your feelings, validating your feelings, and you know, it's like becoming a friend to yourself, because if you've been under the spell of the inner jerk, you are no friend to yourself. You're your worst enemy. So I really like to have people get comfortable with themselves and start to create a more positive relationship with themselves via journaling.
Okay. I like that. It's funny because in all the journaling that I've even suggested to people, I've not suggested, you know, journaling in that way. So I really like that as a strategy as well. All right. So is there anything that you'd like to leave on the minds or in the hearts of the community today?
Well, I think, you know, it's just always important to understand that there is hope. And, you know, unfortunately, the weight loss industry, the diet industry, you know, it's a profit-based industry. I run a profit-based business. I'm like, I get it. But being able to let go of that as a solution, that as your savior, everything will be better, you know, once I'm at this weight, and really starting to figure out, how do I really care for myself? How do I care for these emotions? Because once we're in integrity within ourselves and we're lined up so much better, because now I'm listening to myself, I'm validating myself, then food becomes so much less of an issue. And not that we won't always, you know, if it's your Achilles heel, it's always your Achilles heel, but, you know, the need to really obsess about it and have it and have too much of it really starts to go away as you really increase, like you said, your self-care and your respect for yourself and respect for your body and respect for your feelings. So, you know, I always just want people to know that there's always hope of changing that relationship with yourself and with food. And it's definitely not found in a 30-day this or that and using different Tupperware or doing particular workouts, those are all Band-Aids. And until you really address, you know, the deeper inner feelings that are going on, like, you'll just be using Band-Aids. But the freedom of finally figuring out, oh, this is because I seem to be very angry, or, oh, I seem to be very afraid, or I just can't get out of this shame, then opens the door for you to find solutions to effectively deal with those things. So bring what has been hidden into the light, but then once then it's in the light, then you can actually do something with it.
Okay. Okay, that is, I love that. I mean, just being able to illuminate those things that you're really choosing not to deal with, you know, sort of peeling back the onion to see what are those things that are causing me to, you know, eat to the point where I may have 100, 120, 150 pounds of extra weight, you know, on me. And what I'm finding is that it is not uncommon for women to be 100 pounds or more than they, you know, than they should be. And, you know, I am personally, speaking of gratitude, I'm just so grateful that you really, you know, you came on and you're sharing this information. You know, so this is just firsthand information about emotional eating, and hopefully it'll open the door for somebody who's, you know, who's sitting at home trying to figure out, you know, why nothing's working, or for somebody that just needed to hear it from another person, somebody who just needed to hear, you know, that it's not the soup. Like, really, it's the fear. It's the shame. It's the, for some people, maybe depression or anxiety, but that, you know, that they're now maybe, having that, I always call it maybe a come to Jesus moment, you know, where they're able to see or to articulate that there are other things, you know, underlying this behavior, and without those things being addressed, I could have some temporary 30-day success, you know, that may not be sustainable, because you probably will go back and adopt those old behaviors, you know, that you're feeling safe or hiding behind.
Yeah, because absolutely, so, I always tell people, like, you know, you can deal with those feelings now or you can deal with them later. They will be there and they will be waiting for you. But, you know, why wait another year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years when you can actually start to make progress now? Because these feelings that usually people have been dealing with are 20, 30, 40 years old anyway. So I'm like, they're not going anywhere. So you might as well jump on board.
Okay. Yeah, that's fantastic. And again, this is, I mean, you're just right on line with my overall, you know, vision. As you talk about talking about the inner critic, you know, sometimes for me, it's just like, okay, Denise, you know, like you said, what are you going to do? You're going to do a podcast, really, you know, with no experience, but, you know, my goal, my heart was really so heavy for people who are obviously struggling with some of these behaviors, you know, and I thought, okay, well, just from coaching, I learned, I'm listening to people talk and they're talking about everything but what the real issue is, which is where that it's not the soup came from. I was talking to a lady and she was talking to me about soup. I'm thinking, honey, it's not the soup. Like, this issue is not the soup, you know? So, I mean, we are right on the, definitely on the same wavelength, with that. So that is fantastic, you know, and I'll just, you know, invite the callers. I'm going to have you, I'm going to wrap up with you sharing your info where people can contact you. But no, you know, some of the key points, guys, if you're not eating out of hunger, you're eating out of emotion. And I have to say that really resonates with me, because if I'm at an event, I could be eating and I'm not hungry. So apparently I too could suffer from some, you know, some emotional eating, because I'm not always eating when I'm hungry, depending on what the environment, what's happening in the environment. So, you know, and I think the quieting of the inner critic is really important, you know, and we have to really focus on positive affirmations constantly. And again, I love the saying grace, you know, before everything that you eat, you know, to help raise your awareness about the different choices that you're making. So, okay, looks like we have a caller on the line. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Willie, and I have a question. I'm wondering if there is, you have any insight on telling the difference between the need to eat. I'm hungry and I need to eat, as opposed to the stress response.
That's a great question, because it's really interesting, because we don't grow up learning to listen to hunger cues, because you go to school and breakfast is before school and lunch is at a particular time and dinner is when my parents say so. So learning to listen to that, they say it actually takes 3 months before your brain and your stomach really start talking. So, you know, when I have people say grace, you know, I have them pause, but then to really ask yourself, am I hungry? And try to feel what your stomach feels like. Because especially if you eat at night, I know that when I first started that, I would be like, not only am I not hungry, I am full. You know, I'm seeking a sweet something. I'm seeking something else. But, you know, I tried to just feel what my stomach is feeling and what my stomach is telling me, to understand, like, okay, because there's the, you know, the obvious signs of, like, is my stomach growling? That means I'm hungry. But, you know, what does it feel like? Because the next step, you know, if I don't actually feel hungry, then I ask, like, you know, then what am I? Do I feel nervous about this project I have to do? You know, am I upset about this argument I had earlier? You know, do I feel sad because I haven't talked to this person in a long time? But, you know, go through all of the, you know, what else could it be? But just being silent and sitting and being quiet and trying to feel what your stomach is feeling as a regular practice will really help tune in your brain to understand what's going on in your body more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But as I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking, okay, so here I am sitting in front of this butter pecan ice cream. And so I got my prayer said, and now I'm asking myself all these questions about why am I eating this butter pecan ice cream? But the ice cream is there, and it's begging. You know how it begs. It begs. Now. Not after, you know, not after 10 questions. So I'm really striving to get a little bit more on this.
You got well, any I think that, for me? You know, you're putting yourself, I mean, that's like putting a cigarette in a smoker's mouth and saying, like, okay, what are you going to do here? So, you know, there's a whole host of things, because obviously we don't want to never have ice cream. Ice cream is delicious, but can I have ice cream in a portion that I have put, you know, in a different container? You know, can I sit down? Can I say grace? Can I enjoy my ice cream? You know, absolutely. You know, you want to be able to do that, but you know, for me, I don't have ice cream in my house because I wouldn't keep ice cream in my house. I would eat it. So that just doesn't work for me. So it's really figuring out, you know, what works for you and what kind of, you know, lifestyle and homestead, you know, what you can live with in your house. Like, my kids can have Halloween candy all year long. I won't eat that stuff. But if I had butter pecan, which is ironically my favorite flavor of ice cream, I would.
Well,
so I don't.
I am with you on that.
Yeah, but,
yeah, that,
but don't
that
ever think that it's not, you know, meant to be enjoyed, but can I have a reasonable portion? Can I sit down, no phone, no magazine, no TV? Can I sit and I just enjoy my ice cream? Absolutely. But, you know, when I put myself, and that's more of an inner jerk move of like, what are you going to do? Are you going to eat it? Are you going to eat it? Well, of course you're going to eat it. It's right in front of you. So then you're setting yourself up to be like, now you did it. I told you you're going to eat it. And then you ate it all, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you kind of set yourself up in that circle to feel bad about yourself. Whereas, you know, my biggest point is really just, you know, losing the judgment will really set you free also, because I hope you do enjoy your ice cream. And I hope you have, you know, your little cup and you got a portion out and the rest is in the freezer, probably melted by now. But that, you know, when you sit down, that you can enjoy your ice cream, feel good about yourself. I had a snack. Now I'm done. Now I'm going to move on to do something, you know, engaging. Maybe I'm going to do a little painting. Maybe I'm going to do a little writing. But, you know, something that stirs your soul and fills you more with joy.
All right, all right. Well, thank you for calling, Willie.
Well, you are more than welcome, Dr. Denise.
And you have a fantastic evening.
Same to you.
Bye, Willie.
All right. All right, all right. If anyone else wants to call in, we're at 929-477-2891. You know, and I'll have to have our expert here, Heather, on to come on again to talk about judgment. You know, maybe we'll do a coaching powwow with all of my coaching friends on that, because that's a huge piece and it could just be its own, you know, dealt with on its own. But I think she just really just brought another point. Sort of, she just brought another point in. You can sort of use to facilitate this emotional eating problem, you know, problem that we're discussing. So that would be, you know, that would be like a second step. So, I mean, we would, you know, later we could address the fact that, you know, if you know what some of your triggers are, you might want to either get them in individual sizes, you know, where you're only having one serving, or you may have to, you know, consider not bringing those things in. But those things are more like step two. You know, the step one in my mind would be what you have presented, and people sort of really kind of looking at what some of the real issues are. So,
yeah, and I think those just start to become, you know, a kinder choice, because, you know, some people right now, you know, their mentality is like, no, I'm being nice to myself. I got myself a little ice cream. I have a little treat. I worked hard. I deserved it. I went to the gym. But really the kinder choice, you know, is me getting closer to my goal. So if my goal is either maintaining my weight, losing my weight, you know, trying to have a more whole food diet, whatever that goal is, you know, me supporting myself is kind. And I'm actually being unkind when I'm being like, nah, 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 look what I've got, you know, because now I'm not supporting myself. Just like, you know, if I was in a relationship, you know, and I ate mostly whole food, and, you know, my partner came home all the time, like, oh, hey, babe, I brought you some McDonald's, I brought you some tacos, I brought you all this, and I'd be like, oh, you and I are going to have a problem. Like, this is how you support me? But it's the same thing for yourself. How do you support yourself? And, like, you're exactly right. Like, individual servings, like, I can buy your deli chocolate, no problem. Give me a big, giant chocolate bar, that's a problem. So, you know, you just have to figure out what works for you.
Yeah, I like that. And that's another nugget. That is another nugget, you know, being kind to yourself and supporting yourself. And sort of, again, this sounds so much like, you know, I hear you saying there really has to be a paradigm shift. You know, there really has to be a paradigm shift in the way that you're seeing it. So, I mean, you really presented that so nicely. I love that. You know, where you torturing yourself maybe with the half gallon or the gallon, you know, is not kind. It is not moving you toward your goals, but it's almost unkind. Oh, that is profound. I love it.
Yeah, and I know you've heard that so much in coaching too, where people are like, oh, I'm not buying any bigger clothes, and they squeeze themselves into clothes that hurt, that are uncomfortable, that they look terrible in, because they're like, I'm not buying anything bigger. But that's so unkind for you to feel bad in your own skin all day long. Like, you know, if you're here and you're working on it, you know, getting lower, that's fine, but like, at least get yourself something that you feel good in, that you feel like you look good in. Because I think that is unkind. I'm just going to torture myself, because you don't make positive changes from a negative headspace. And you're not going to be mean to yourself, and then all of a sudden you're going, oh, I'm going to do this now. No, it's like, you know, hitting a puppy with a newspaper. You know, it's not exactly training to be like, a happy, content little puppy. Training to be scared and training to be angry, and that's exactly, you know, what we do to ourselves when we make those choices.
Yes. Oh, that. Oh, you. I'm about to pass a play for you, girl.
Oh, do it. Oh, I got.
I love it. I love it. Well, I so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with our listeners, and just sharing from your wealth of knowledge on this topic and from your years of coaching. I just think it's fantastic. So I want you to take this opportunity to, in which I said it, I meant to start at the top of the hour with it, but just, you know, tell everybody about your book, where they can find it, your website, and, you know, the services you offer, so that they can get in contact with you after this. And then I will repost that information on Facebook again tomorrow.
Super. Well, you can find me on Facebook. You know, my business page, I post something new every day, and it really ranges the gamut. It's not just about food stuff, because, as you know, it's not the soup. So you can find that at Heather Sayers Lehman, which is Heather and then S-A-Y-E-R-S, and then my last name is Lehman, L-E-H-M-A-N. And then for my corporate wellness company, you know, where I'm actually working on emotional eating, you know, at work, that's called Overcoming You, just the letter U. So if you go to overcomingyou.com, you can find out about all the corporate wellness programs that I offer and the executive health coaching that I do as well. And even if somebody just wants a free copy of Grace, then if you go to my website, which is called gystcoaching.com, there'll be a pop-up that'll come up, and you'll be able to sign up and get a free copy of that entire chapter of the book, just to help give you something to get started if you're ready to start getting more mindful and conscious about your choices. So Facebook is always great to get a hold of me, because you can message me from there, and I can talk to you, you know, if you're looking at making a change, joining a program. Like I said, gystcoaching.com if you want a copy of Grace, and then if you're interested in corporate wellness, overcomingyou.com, and you can contact me from that website also.
All right, fantastic. And I know you've done a TED Talk as well, which we didn't go into that, but we'll have to talk about that on another podcast. But again, thank you so much.
So much to talk about.
I know, all my friends are so fabulous. I love it. I love it. But Heather is one of my many inspirations, you know, to jump out there and do you. So, again, thanks for all you've done. And I look forward to our conversations going forward. And you have a fantastic evening.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. And I just want to say that I am super proud of you for putting yourself out there and doing the podcast, because I do know how much work is behind it and how scary it is to just put, oh, I'm Dr. Denise. So I think it's awesome, and I hope that you are actually very proud of yourself.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I receive all that encouragement.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, let's do
all
this
right.
again sometime.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. What information. You know, it's definitely a blessing to have so many friends that are doing so many things in this health and wellness world. But, you know, it's definitely my desire to help you guys reach your highest health potential. That is the whole purpose of this show. So I hope this was an opportunity for you to be elevated, for you to, you know, feel motivated, and for you to maybe, you know, come to terms with some of the things that you have been unwilling to face, you know, in your own life. And there are resources out there to help you, you know, move past that, to move through some of the quicksand that you may be sinking in with respect to how to manage your stress and how stress turns into other things that, you know, stress turns into anxiety, stress turning into depression, stress turning into behaviors like emotional eating or outpouring of negativity or anger, you know, that those things, you know, these things can be worked out. So, you know, I want to just give you some tools to help you be the best that you can be. You know, that is my goal. So thank you guys again for listening. Remember, the call-in number is always 929-477-2891. Please follow the podcast at blogtalkradio.com/It's Not the Soup. Go there and hit the follow button. In addition to following It's Not the Soup at Twitter, I mean, on Twitter, you can follow the show at It's Not the Soup. So I look forward to speaking with you all very soon. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Bye.